Welcome in! Latest episode of that SEC Butt Gaze. I'm your Spike Bratton,
the on-term cousin.
And there's everybody's favorite cousin, Cousin Shed. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, sorry about these delays. I was testifying in front of Congress with Nick Saban there to try to derail Ole Miss. How are you doing?
Oh, man. We're in the thick of it, huh? We are in the thick of it. The highlights today is Nick Saban, old Papaw Saban, going to court. So, yeah, I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. We're one day closer to college football. I'm starting to see some of these countdowns on my timeline that always makes me happy, you know, kind of reminiscing some of these older players and you know, 96, 95-yard touchdowns and all those great highlights. So, yes, we are getting closer, son.
Yeah, but some of them are reaching a little too hard.
I mean, so?
We all do that, right? So, yeah. You know, we do all these damn lists and countdowns and things of that nature. But I did see one. Maybe I'm going to try to find it because they do. Again, this is not a knock on their work.
Yeah.
Because they do a hell of a job. And I think they're called the next round. They're the ones putting out all these SEC graphics and stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, the graphics are great. They're keeping the conversation. I mean, this is like literally what we should be doing, right? But one of them they put out the other day, it was pretty fun. I was just kind of laughing. Damn it. I'm trying to find it.
Yeah, while you do that, I want to remind the cousins real quick that we are brought to you by the legends. That is Tennessee Legend Distillery. Be sure if you stop off in Smoky Mountains. Hey, the rain is away. The rain is gone. You can come back to town. Come back to town, they said. Well, your first stop needs to be over here at Tennessee Legend Distillery. Be sure to let them know the cousin sent you. Not only will you get a bonus gift, but you will also get a discount. They got two spots in Sevier County. They got one in Nashville, and it's just a fun dang place to hang out, Mike.
Oh, I found it here, Shade. It's loudest SEC state.
Oh no.
So we're not ranking the toughest places. We're not ranking, you know, the attendance or anything like that. It's just which was the loudest?
Can I ask you something? When you hear that, do you automatically go to like decibels, or do you go by like in your head? I'm just trying to see how you would figure out top to bottom, the loudest to the not. Would are you more about just the actual environment at that location?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Yeah, see, I mean, I don't even know how to quantify that.
Yeah,
that's why
yeah.
It's kind of silly. And again, it's like I say all the time, Florida's in elite home field, right?
Yes.
And people are like, well, you're stupid. That's not one of the best. But again, Florida against FAU.
Yeah.
Is going to be terrible compared, not terrible, but not, you know, it's not even in the same universe.
Right.
As when they're going to play Oklahoma.
Yes.
So what are we talking about here? Are we talking about, you know, at Oklahoma night game and how loud is it? Or you know, I mean, there's just so many different ways we could go. But everybody, Tennessee, when they're playing Alabama,
yeah,
buddy, that thing's a rockin'. It wasn't rocking when they were playing Vanderbilt, though. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Which one are we rating here? I think that's just for outrage. We're like, and again, I'm not calling them bait or anything like that because everybody calls us that, but that's like just for fans to be like, Neyland's the loudest. Bob's the loudest. You ever been to Sanford? It's loud as shit in there, you know?
Yeah, when they're pumping music in, you know? No, I always thought about like when they talk about the decibels, like that one time it got really, like, you know, I think of it like my golf. Like I'll have like the perfect drive, but I won't talk about, you know, the approach shot in the woods I just did. You know what I'm saying? It's like every now and then I get that perfect hit and I look like an elite golfer out there, but then it's usually followed up by three or four duds. So, yeah, I don't go off decibel. I just go off just environments, what it feels like, especially when the juices are flowing and you feel like the crowd really needs a stand here or something along those lines.
Yeah. Which one? I think it's all about kind of like, where would you be telling your grandkids, like, I was at that game, you know, and I couldn't hear myself think. It wasn't until Tuesday that I was feeling myself again. You know what?
Yeah, I'm a little biased, right? Because it is Nealon. The only reason I say that is because there's been a few moments I'm like, this old place is about to collapse. That's what I'm like. If we get any louder, this damn place may fall to the ground. I hope that doesn't happen. So yes, I'm a little biased. I would put the Swamp right up there with it. But to be fair, I've never done Death Valley at Not, you know. I haven't got to do William Bryce in an elite, you know, especially after an interception or some sort of
turn right.
or something like that. So it's not fair. Kyle Field, another one we've not been to. We're talking about going to this year. So that this may change, but for me, just personal experience, it's tough to beat old Nealon.
Hey, congrats.
Balls and everything, you know.
Congrats, SEC Sean. Just got word, fourth grandkid on the way. All
Heck
girls.
Yeah.
All girls, Shane.
You know, I always think, man, when I start having grandkids, it's going to be hopefully all. No, I mean, I love my girls. Don't get me wrong. But I just feel like that's what's going to happen is I had all girls just so I could have all grandsons.
Hey, shout out. Well, not really. I'm not a big fan of this guy, but that's kind of why I'm bringing it up. There's Urban Lion Meyer over here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has a podcast, Shane.
What?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see who his sponsors are.
But he had a clip. I just thought this was pretty fascinating because we all know, well, maybe you don't know, but again, the guy is, I mean, as shady as they possibly come.
Yeah.
I mean, literally had murderers on his team when he was at, I mean, he's a hell of a coach, right? I'm not, you can't say he's not multiple national right. champion here at multiple schools even. So he is elite. He's one of the best in modern college football. But he said when he was at Florida, they were about to land some guy from Louisiana. And then he said, what do you know? At the last minute, something changed. And he went to LSU. And he said, from there on out, I made a rule. We will not recruit a player from the state of Louisiana. Just basically insinuating that they're crooked down there and they're going to cheat. And I think he was trying to say it as like, LSU's going to be good under Kiffin because they cheat down there. But how wild is it for a guy like Urban Meyer to throw somebody under the bus when we all know all the nonsense that he's been involved in?
Pretty bad, right? But I will say this, and I'm not defending the man, but you got to admit, Louisiana boys were a little different back in those days, right? There was a different level of commitment. You talk about that was always a tough place for anybody to go in there and recruit. I mean, we made such a big deal when Papa Nick Saban was able to pull a few out of there. We're like, how the hell did they get them out of Louisiana? So, yeah, I think times have changed a little bit. Now we got a little bit more of that paper chasing, but back in the day, I could see what Urban was saying here. Why waste the resources on a guy that you know is not coming to your school?
Yeah, but I don't know. I just think that is that's a guy that these guys, and maybe that's what makes him so great, Shane. But remember, like Nick Saban, when he called out Jimbo Fisher and said A&M pays for everybody on their roster.
Yeah,
the only reason he was doing that is because Jimbo and A&M had the number one recruiting class, and Saban had number two in the country. You know, like you could win a national championship with the number two class, but he wasn't number one.
Yeah.
So I think stuff like this, Urban Meyer's like, well, remember that guy I lost? It's because they were cheating. You know, like they just can't let this go.
No, that's true.
And Urban's true. Going on winning national championships. He's still got a bitch about losing one guy because, Nick Saban's gone down there in Louisiana, gotten guys. I mean, hell, Mississippi State went in Louisiana, got Dak Prescott. You know what I mean? Like, it's not some Herculean task to get someone out of there, but I just thought that was kind of funny.
Urban Meyer calling out cheaters of all people.
Well, we got another one. Speaking of, maybe the greatest, I don't want to call him a cheater of all time, the greatest coach of all time, Nick Saban, up here in Congress, Shane. Quick clip. Man, everybody and their mother throwing Ole Miss under the bus here.
Yeah.
Old Pete used to work for Saban. I guess he forgot about that.
Every year. And we have nothing to control agents. We have nothing to control tampering. You know, Clemson had a player that was on campus for a whole week, and they come and got him off the campus and took him someplace else.
Oh, who's he talking about there? Shout out, Luke, the linebacker, starting linebacker now at Ole Miss here. But, man, throwing, at least he didn't mention Cheat Golding there, but that's clearly who he's talking about.
Did you, do you have any other clips from this?
That's the only one I got pulled up.
And the only reason I'm bringing that up is because that wasn't the only Ole Miss reference in this 11-minute speech, you know? So he did go on to talk about, you know, Trinidad. And kids are not eligible for another year. And what do? They go down to their local, like it's a local barber, and they get approval. And guess what? That kid's going to be playing next year. So there are no rules, says Nick Saban. And then he went on to talk about how much little amount of money that they had for NIL when he was there, and then how it just kept getting ramped up year after year. And that's why he got out, took his $100 million with him, you know?
Well, I've said it once before, Shane, I'll say it again. If I'm an Ole Miss fan, I love this kind of talk though.
Yeah.
Because we got Texas out here. We got now, you know, I still associate Saban with Bama. We got Lane Whiffen out here, LSU. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody and their mother has got a kick Ole Miss, and they're the, you know, their example of, as they're rising, you know, we got to change this. This shit's getting out of control. Ole Miss going further in the playoff and anybody in the Southeastern Conference. We can't have this. Mm-mm. That tells me that, you know, that they have taken notice, and, you know, they're trying to put Ole Miss back in its place, the place that they think it belongs, not where it is currently. And again, I also believe that at Ole Miss, you got to live in the gray. You got to cut as many corners as you can. And that's why we call him Cheat Golding. And I think people think that I'm being insulting. I'm praising the guy. I think he's a perfect man for the job down there in Oxford.
Just embrace it, man. You know, negative emotions better than no emotion at all. And I would rather people be talking about my program, talking about how we got a leg up on everybody else because we did this or we did that. That's where you got to live, man. You got to live on that, or you get left behind. Like you said, there's 16 wonderful teams in this conference, and it's this quick. It's just a moment you're left behind. So, embrace it while you're here.
Yeah, and I mean, no disrespect, right? But they're not talking about, you know, Mississippi State and Arkansas and the teams that are struggling.
Yeah.
And if they really cared about college football, if Nick Saban really cared and wanted, you know, like an even playing field.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are your examples. And again, maybe that's not a perfect, because they've hired poorly and you know, things have gone there against them, but we shouldn't have an SEC or college football, whatever you want to say, where like we have uncompetitive teams.
Yes.
That's bad.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't 5-6 years ago, Mississippi State and Arkansas could beat anybody, but now, right. Well, at least as of today, now they could turn it around. But I think you want everybody close to the same playing field. We shouldn't be just trying to drag down Ole Miss, who's found their way out of the of the middle to the top. They're trying to drag their ass down. If they really cared, I think you're trying to get everybody on that even playing field, and they sure as hell don't want that, because as soon as Bama goes down, then they're like, oh, we got to change these damn rules. You know what?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm telling you that the parity in this league, that's what they wanted. And I feel like we're getting closer and closer to that. And a lot of that has to do with the NIL, that a lot of that has to do with transfer portal. I mean, you talk about a team that could have been decimated, like the Florida Gators. After you lose a coach, I mean, that team could have just withered away. LSU could have withered away, you know, took 2-3 years to bring back to prominence. And nah, you just go and you do it overnight. In fact, the team you have now is probably better than the one you had last year. We weren't able to do that 5-10 years ago. So I do think that it adds for competition, and that's what we love about this league now, because the bottom is non-existent. The Vanderbilts won 10 games last year, right? Mississippi State, I think about them, even though they've been on the out and out. They took Tennessee down to the wire. Arkansas, how many one-possession games? They probably don't want to talk about it, but how many one-possession games have they had here the last couple of years? So they're right there in the mix, too.
Mm-hmm. Hey, shout out SEC Sean.
Hey, thank you,
the new granddad. We don't have a lot of returning defense, but we got some dudes in the portal in Elko. We trust. So that's a good segue, Shane, to get into our returning production on the defensive side of the football. We did offense last episode If you missed it, go check that out when we're done here. But we got defensive returning production.
Wins championships, they say.
Yeah. And here's just a quick recap, Shane, of last year. So, again, is this the end-all, be-all statistic? Probably not, because, you know, Ole Miss went pretty far, not necessarily because of their defense, but this is where things were in 2025 heading into the season. But I circle Shane Vanderbilt and their 10-win season. Again, not to say that they were like some dominant defensive program, but I think that really aided them. I thought Missouri was really good on defense last year. They were number two in the SEC in returning defensive production. Bama was solid. Tennessee, not so much. But they returned some guys. So, again, this stat doesn't mean everything. I think Oklahoma and Texas right there smack dab in the middle kind of prove that as well.
Yeah.
And Georgia. But here's the deal with Georgia. They remember Tennessee lit their ass up.
Yep.
They got better, significantly better, as the season went on. But they struggled a little bit out the gate. So, I don't know. I still think this is an important stat for college football.
It is, but it's a little different than the offense, right? Because I'm looking at, say what you want, LSU played some really good defensive games last year, right?
Yeah.
Maybe not Ole Miss, but Oklahoma definitely played some really good defensive games. So this is based on this graphic, you know, some of the lower half of the conference. So this one is a little more intriguing to me, but you know, I feel like there's outliers. Vanderbilt, like you said, it was almost teed up. Like, why did we not see a successful season like last year based off the returning production we saw on offense and defense? Cause they were both really high. So yeah, I do think that you really got to take, you know, it could be good, it could be bad. Some people say, you know, that old saying, like, well, if you're bringing back shit, you know what I'm saying? You still got shit. So, but I do think that it's a little bit different going into this season.
Okay, so let's go to the current season here, Shane. This is tackles returning from last season that are back in 2026. And buddy, look at them dogs all the way leading the SEC with 72% of last year's tackles back on the team.
Yeah.
Florida second with 66%. Oklahoma 59% is third. Tennessee's fourth with 56%. Just a fraction better than Vanderbilt, and South Carolina each at 56%, as well as Texas. A&M's at 53%, Bama's at 50%. Everybody else returns less than half of their tackles from last season. Auburn 45%, LSU 45%, Mississippi State 43%, Kentucky 43%, Ole Miss 39%, Mizzou 35%, and Arkansas 27%. Anything stand out to you about these returning tackles?
Yeah, I didn't think anybody could tackle at Tennessee last year. So, for me, Florida Gators, right? Something we talked a little bit about yesterday. Just it still kind of blows my mind how much they were able to retain down there in Gainesville. That's a big one, and then of course you have to point out the Georgia Bulldogs, right? When I think about the great football programs that Kirby Smart's put together, a lot of that stems from that defense. And this is a big red flag here if you're thinking Georgia's going to make another run at it.
Indeed, Shane.
Is there any concerns in your opinion? I like when you put this together, what was your biggest surprise?
You know, maybe not a huge surprise, but, you know, Missouri being all the way again, Missouri was number two last year.
Yeah.
Now they're second fewest. Now just tackles here. We got more to break down, but I guess that was somewhat to be expected, but I just think it's so funny how Missouri's going to, if they're going to have a good year, they're going to have to go from like, man, they struggled on offense, but they were good on defense. It's almost completely reversed now, where they better be damn good on offense.
Yeah.
Because I think it's going to be a little bit of a struggle on defense. I was slightly hoping that Auburn had a little bit more than 45%, because they were so good. And you kind of hope that that, you know, the defense, they can, if they just maintain that level and they have a competent offense, Auburn's going to be really good. Mississippi State at 43 is interesting.
Yeah.
Because they've turned over the defensive coaching staff. So I don't necessarily think they needed a ton back, but I'm very fascinated to see what Zach Arnett can do with this defense. I think Oklahoma being up there at 59, that should be damn scary. Anytime Brent Venables has got a lot returning on defense, I think that could be a nightmare for everybody else in the conference. You know, Pete Golding got a little bit of a rebuild on the defensive side. Now, of course, I should have said this. I thought this was like an assumption, but mm-hmm. a lot of people ask, you know, does this count transfers or anything? This does not count transfers.
Yeah.
I'm like one of the last people that believes transfers are not returners, but so again, that every one of these teams is going to be aided by transfers.
Right.
But I just think it's valuable to know who's back from last year.
Well, yeah, continuity is important, man. And sometimes when you have a lack thereof, if you will, there's those growing pains early in the season, but something you mentioned, I'm looking at potential shootout teams, right? You mentioned Mizzou, Ole Miss, Kentucky with Stein now, you know, Mississippi State, LSU, Auburn. Those teams, I probably should just throw Arkansas in there. I don't want to dance around them, but they're definitely going to need to put some points up. But I'm looking at that grouping, and that's one thing that we're anticipating going into the season is that these are teams that are going to have to lean a little more on the offensive side of the football, it feels like.
Right.
It just kind of stands out there like a sore thumb here. So if there's some early bets that you can get in for your quarterbacks, for your yards, you know what I'm saying? It may be something to look at right here.
And then last thing on the tackles, Florida being number two.
Yeah.
You know what stands out about that, Shane, is everybody on the top there and even, you know, everybody, you know, above 50%, everybody aside from Florida mm-hmm. brings back their head coach. So I just think that's a really good job of the Gators. I know they underperformed massively, but yeah. a good job of not having to like completely blow up the roster. I think that just goes a long way to showing the commitment they had to bringing guys back and paying to keep guys, because I think that's very difficult to, you know, that's why Arkansas is low. That's why Kentucky's yep. low. That's why LSU, even though they're bringing back their defense coordinator, is low. Auburn, low. But Florida, they're bringing guys back under a new coach.
Yeah.
I just think that's particularly noteworthy.
Urban Meyer couldn't do it. You know? That's why I started a podcast.
Hey, shout out. Oh, what a name here. Yes, OU sucks. Two words, Colin Simmons. By the way, OU still sucks. Appreciate you. OU still sucks.
Thank you, cuz. That's awesome. You make a YouTube name just for how much you hate another school. I love it. I love it.
Well, speaking of Colin Simmons, he's all over this one, Shane. So this is tackles for loss and sacks.
Okay.
So I've kind of roped them together this year. But, buddy, Georgia, once again, leads the SEC in returning tackles for losses and sacks, 73%. Florida up there again, 67%. There's mighty Texas for OU sucks, 67% as well. Oklahoma, 56% is fourth. Bama and Auburn and Vanderbilt each at 50%, and then everybody else is below 50%. Ole Miss 49, Kentucky 48, Carolina 48, A&M 47, Mississippi State 46, Arkansas 41, Tennessee 38, LSU 36, and then Missouri 20% of the tackles for loss and sacks returning. Anything stand out here?
Don't worry, we still got Chaz. We'll be fine. I mean, it's hard not to look at the bottom there. You know, you've already kind of hit on Mizzou, but the Tennessee Vols, right? We already knew the defense was bad, real bad. Maybe the worst I've ever seen last season. And, yeah, they kind of cleaned house, but they also, it feels like, had a little trouble filling some spots. So I'm a little worried about that one. And then the top, it's Georgia and Florida again, right? It's Georgia and Florida. Now we got Texas and Oklahoma. I love what you said about the Sooners here. God forbid Venables brings back talent. I mean, this is a program that's reloading. You know what I'm saying? Especially on that defensive side. But yeah, very, very interesting seeing Georgia and Florida that high, man.
Right. And another one that stands out to me, Shane, A&M all the way down there at 47.
Yeah.
Now it could be a lot worse. But that Mike Elko defense, and again, shout out, you know, we had the nice donation. Elko's hit the portal, which they have, as SEC Sean pointed out. But Elko, his defensive system is basically like chaos, and we'll take the occasional, you know, shot over the top or explosive play allowed. I know he doesn't want that, but they are just after your ass, right?
Yeah. So
they are predicated on getting to the quarterback, tackles for loss, setting up third and longs, and to have, you know, not even half of that production back is slightly concerning. Again, they're loading up there. I'm not saying A&M's going to suck or anything, but that kind of stands out to me because, again, they're one that brings back Elko, that brings back the head coaches, whereas a lot of the teams that are bottom on this list may not have a new head coach. Well, a lot of them do, but either a new head coach or a new defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And there's smack dab A&M, which is just a little interesting to me.
Interesting. And it's funny because they're kind of in that spot where either A, we're going to praise the coach and what he was able to do with the lack of talent returning, or we're going to use it as the crutch on why maybe they had a rough start, or, you know, a lack of production coming up this season. It's those 50-50s. Those are kind of weird. And there's a lot of them, right? One thing that we don't talk a lot about, man, that I think I've seen in the middle of every single one of these lists is Mississippi State, right? So it almost feels like a coin toss. Is this a team that's going to be better this year, or is this a team that's going to be worse? I don't know. I'm kind of right there. You know, I do love what, you know, some of the athletes that they brought back, and I'm not enamored with the portal gets, but this is a team that, I don't know, has built a little competitive depth over this summer, and maybe a little bit interesting too. So maybe we ain't talk enough about State.
Ooh. State Shane, they're going to start calling you.
Come on now. What if this is like this year's Vanderbilt, right? I mean
it's year three. It should be, right? If they hit a quarterback, they finally have a competent defense.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I'm not saying that they – here's what I'm saying. So can they win South Carolina? Yes, I could see it. Can they win Mizzou? Yes, I could see it. There's an opportunity for them to just – shock the world, shock the conference, you know, and then all of a sudden we're sitting back saying, damn, Jeff Lebby's cooking with something. Now, again, it's the expectations. I feel like there's part of your brain where you're just like, eh, they're, come on, 4-5. That's what Vegas says. They're probably right. But there's a chance that this may be a 7-8 win Mississippi State. They're right back in the mix, you know. So this is a make or break season for Lebby. So there is no holding back down there. So
did you see what Steven said on Monday when he was sharing where Athlon has Mississippi State in the SEC? He's like, I love the direction. I'm buying stock. 13th in the SEC. It's like,
damn.
But again, it's damn. You might take that as like a backhanded, you know, a projection, but
yeah,
damn, the SEC is just so good.
I know
that, again, not that 13th is good, but I mean, you got to be better than 12 in front of you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that's the thing. You know, this year's Mississippi State's not like 92 Vanderbilt, you know, they're not that far out. And it really does feel like any given Saturday, there could be a team that pulls off an upset. And I hate to say that, you know, that's what Mississippi State wins will be, but it wouldn't surprise me if they don't pull off a few of those this season.
And here's the thing, Shane, Mississippi State.
Yeah.
You better become prepared to score because
yeah,
they can outscore anybody.
Oh, they'll be a fun offense to watch for sure.
They've been up and down on Texas ass and Tennessee. Yeah. I mean, all these teams.
I still can't believe we got away with that one. I really don't. I thought for sure Tennessee was going to lose that game. And you're right. Texas, there's been some close games last couple of seasons. So, yeah, Mississippi State, I thought I was damn determined. I think I picked them to go down there and beat Texas A&M. You know, that's – and then there goes Jeff Levy. You know, just when you get back on the wagon, he knocks you back off.
All right, Shane, let's get into pass defense returning. So, again, I kind of roped these together where okay. I did passes defended and interceptions back from last season. Wouldn't you know it, Shane?
Oh,
good night.
God.
Georgia, number one, 87% of last season's passes defended and interceptions are back for the Dogs. Florida, up there again, 73% is number two. Oklahoma, 69. Nice. Whoa. Number three. Bama, 61. Vanderbilt, 56. Texas, 55. Carolina, 52. Everybody else is under 50%. We got Tennessee, 49. LSU, 46. Kentucky, 45. Mississippi State, 43. Ole Miss, 42. Mizzou, 41. A&M also 41, Auburn 40, and then, God, this was devastating, Shane, Arkansas.
Six. One guy.
I mean, that's basically what it is, yeah.
Yeah, oh, geez. No, that sucks. That really does. But, you know, maybe they needed a – I mean, that defense was pretty damn bad last year, you know what I'm saying? So maybe Arkansas fans are excited about that. But standing out, man, it just feels like – it feels like you're just swapping a few of the teams around here. It's almost alarming for me. I keep saying Florida. It feels like a Florida show, but just how high Oklahoma is, man. That defense was a blanket last year. And now you got all this talent coming back and the portal adds, man, this Sooner defense could be pretty damn exciting this year. Of course, I'm not trying to shit on Kirby Smart here because Georgia Bulldogs, man, brother, what about this talent?
Well, that's kind of why I've been saying, that's why I've been hyping them all off season.
Yeah.
I think people maybe are just because of the recent playoff failures that they're not giving Georgia their due. But when you see stuff like this, I think you have an indication of why I really lean heavy. Georgia's going to win the SEC. Mm-hmm. And again, this is just defense, but hell, that's Kirby's baby, right? Yeah. Bring it back to offensive coordinator. Bring it back to quarterback. Bring it back a lot on the offensive line. Bring it back a lot at running back. And they got monster tight ends once again. I don't want to make this completely into Georgia, but I mean, we are staring in the face, I think, of quite possibly the best defense in the country here, once again in Athens.
Damn. I bet Rusty's sleeping good down there. You know, he's got to be, right? He's got to be. He's going out here golfing with Kirby, going home, just thinking about how good this football team is. He cannot wait to talk Georgia football this year because, I mean, you got your quarterback back. I mean, we talked about offense. Georgia's, man, they're my favorites. They're my favorites. I keep
Wait,
wanting to go to.
They're your favorites. You are saying listen, Texas undefeated.
Listen, I'm just saying defense wins what, Mike?
Championships.
Yeah. SEC champs back to back. Come on, man. It's early. I could be persuaded, but.
Yeah. Are these numbers the end all be all? No. But when you look at this and you compare it to Texas.
Yeah.
I'm having a hard time where people are saying like Texas is better other than, and it may be fair where people say Arch is a lot better than Gunner.
Yeah.
And I'm not even saying that. I don't even necessarily believe that, but I understand why people would say that. But, and again, we're trying to project 26.
Yeah.
Really shouldn't have anything to do with 25 and 24, but it's one of those where like, you got to beat that team before I believe you can do it. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. And for me, man, and I'm just being real, when I see returning production like this, it's almost like I know how good Georgia can be, right? Like,
yeah,
what's good Georgia? Good Georgia's winning another SEC championship, make it to a college football playoff. It's going to take a little special, a little seasoning, if you will, to get to a national title. Texas is the other team you mentioned. Because you don't have that much returning production, it's almost like a hope and a wish, right? I mean, I see what they're bringing. I saw what they brought in the portal. It makes sense on paper. There's no reason it shouldn't, but still you're kind of hoping to see it come true. You've seen what good Georgia looks like, and you're going to get to see it again because they're bringing half their guys back, more than half.
And as Desi says, hey, this doesn't count transfers, 100% true.
For sure.
But again, especially Shane on defense.
Yeah.
Give me the continuity over incoming transfers. That doesn't mean transfers are bad or they can't hit immediately, but the vast majority of them, it usually takes a year.
Yeah.
And again, defense is a lot about understanding the system and knowing your role. And again, remember, Texas is new defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
So even the guys they're bringing back, they're not even familiar with the system, unless they transferred in from Georgia. <You know? laughs> So again, I don't mean to just sit here and shit on Texas, but it's interesting nonetheless. Again, Florida way up there again. Could are you sleeping on Florida now, Shane? With all this defense back, of course their defense was pretty awful last year. I don't know that getting all these guys back is a lock to make them elite or anything.
No, it's just safeties right before they got to the end zone. They pushed them out of bounds, you know? No, I mean, sorry, man. You know, I get carried away with some of these numbers sometime because I don't get to see them often, but I do think that I think you may be on something here in Florida. I feel like I've been too low on the Gators, and I don't know. It's almost like a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. There's moments in this offseason I'm like, dude, Florida Gators are back. And then there's parts like, yeah, they're probably going to be a couple of years, you know? So I don't know. I go back and forth right now. You're definitely looking a little more successful down there. Ain't that right, Liquid?
He thinks so. All right. So now final one I got here, Shane. So this is total defense.
Yeah.
So I've taken all that information that I've shared with you and the cousins and to put it all together. So Georgia, again, I mean, no surprise, this kind of all makes sense, right, when I'm combining it all. But Georgia, far and away, number one in the SEC, 78% defensive returning. Florida, 69. Nice. Oklahoma, 61. Vanderbilt and Texas, 59. Alabama, 53. Carolina, 52. Tennessee, everybody else, less than 50. Tennessee, 48. A&M, 47%. Kentucky, 45. Auburn, also 45. Mississippi State, 44. Ole Miss, 43. LSU, 42. Mizzou, 32. And then the Hogs at 25.
Oh, man, biggest takeaways, and not to beat this drum, but maybe not that Georgia's number one, but just what that number looks like, 78%. That's quite a bit. Another one that we haven't really talked about, but you have to point out because we did just a minute ago talking about last year's production, is Vanderbilt Commodores. You know, Clark Lee, this is his baby. This defense gave a lot of teams fits last year. Bringing back, you know, almost 60% of that. I think that's a little bit alarming, you know, especially with what they're expecting win totals to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then the opposite end, the big one that really stands out to me is MIZ sitting there at 32%. I knew they lost a lot of defense, especially to the draft, but man, that's a low number, brother.
Yeah. When it comes to Vanderbilt too, you got to remember there's a good chance they're starting a true freshman at quarterback.
For sure.
So they're probably not going to be scoring a ton right out the gate. So they're going to need that defense to really step it up. This may they may need to have the best defense they've ever had under Clark Lea if they're going to come anywhere close to doing what they did last year. But that's why it's nice to have this level of production back. I think if you're Oklahoma, this is giving you massive confidence that you can repeat and make another playoff type run. And again, defense is almost always ahead of the offense early in the season.
Yeah.
And I think that's particularly important for the Sooners, Shane, because you got to remember, again, I'm very high on Oklahoma, but there's a world where they're 2-3 and like a top 10 team in the country, because they're at Michigan week two. They're at Georgia week four. They got Texas in the fifth game.
Yeah.
So you need the defense to show up immediately. And that, you know, that may be a little Captain Obvious here, but getting all that defensive production back, that should allow you to do that. So,
yeah,
you know, I think that's great for the Sooners.
What do you think that week four game will be? Oklahoma and Georgia. You think that's going to be like a 7-6 top ball game?
I mean, that may be the game of the year. You know, I mean, everybody's talking LSU, Ole Miss and Bama, Georgia again, and Texas, LSU, all these games. I rarely ever hear anybody talk about Georgia, Oklahoma when it comes to game of the year type ball games, but I think it realistically could be. So, yeah, that's going to be a hell of a lot of fun, no doubt about that. But, yeah, again, this is a reason why I'm down on Missouri, all the way down here at 32.
Let's play this game for a second. So some of these lower ones, no offense, Arkansas, but we're going to skip you for a second. Mizzou, I just, again, when I see this, I feel like it's a rough start to a season. Can you pull up Mizzou's schedule? How important it is for this defense to get locked in early. I mean, that Kansas game, right? That could be one. We just talked about Mississippi State, maybe catching some teams. This one gets a little bit more interesting now that it's on the road, your defense going on the road. So,
Mississippi State is really going to test that defense.
Dude, that may be a game. That may be a game we're not even talking about, man. Dude, if I'm Levy and I've got a handful of SEC games I have to get, this is one I've got circled. It has to be, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're going – God, what a schedule, though. Damn, what a schedule. Go on the road.
You got to get them early.
Yeah. You know? I told you, man, I feel like there is a realistic shot that Mississippi State could start out 4-0 and have two signature wins for Levy. Not saying it happens, but, man, that's exactly when I want to play Mizzou early in the season. I don't want them to figure this thing out by November.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you were talking about some of these others. Ole Miss and LSU, they're kind of funny because the Ole Miss number's a little low.
Yeah.
Because LSU stole their guys. And the LSU's number's probably pretty low because they're like, hell, let's go get some Ole Miss guys. You know what I mean? But it is funny because it's Blake Baker's defense.
Right.
It's not like they took Pete Golding, you know, to LSU, but that kind of is what it is. But both of those, LSU and Ole Miss being low, Missouri too, but the three of those have added a ton, and Arkansas as well. They've all added a ton via the transfer portal, and that's literally what you got to do.
Yeah,
in this modern times when you return so few returning production, you don't wait for the high school players to develop anymore. You just go out there and hire you some hired guns, some free agents. So I think. What it kind of comes down to is how good is our defense going to be? Well, it depends on whether we hit via the transfer portal or not.
How much weight do you put on this? Like when you're looking at a team and you're trying to predict, because that's what we all do, right? We're trying to predict how they're going to finish, what the season's going to look like, best case, worst case scenarios. When you're looking at these numbers for production, defense, offense, and stuff, Let's just break it down defense here. If you're giving this weight, what percentage would you give this in as far as picking a good team or picking a bad team? Like percentage, we'll just say out of 100%. Would you say this is you know, 15%, or do you think this is higher? Do you think it's like a 30% situation? Or I'm just trying to get, because I think it's important.
I think it really, now this is kind of cheating, but hey, I think it depends on the team, the number, and how good they were last year. So like Georgia was really kind of caught fire on defense. I know they lost to Trinidad and all that, but they were really playing well on the defensive side of the football at the end of the season, and having a number as high as 78.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like 95% confident in Georgia, right?
Yeah.
Whereas you can say the same thing about Oklahoma. Of course, the number's not as high, so maybe like 85%. And then someone like Florida,
mm-hmm,
who's got 69, but they were not as good.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't give me as much confidence.
That makes sense.
You know, so it's a little bit of an I know you don't like math. It's a little bit of an equation in my mind going on when I look at these numbers, but I do think it is valuable.
Yeah. No, I do too, because I feel like that's what separates some of these teams later in the season is, you know, because a lot of this is, you know, some of these numbers are not starters, right? I feel like when you look at a 48% for Tennessee, you're saying, well, that's starter. No, they may have just got worked in certain games, and now you're trying to establish that depth, which is so important, I feel like, for that postseason run, because now you've got non-SEC games. Now we've got SEC championship, college football playoffs. There's so many games that are going to get played that I feel like you lose some of them along the way, but I feel like the successful programs, the ones that make the run, are the ones that have that depth, you know, and that's when I see returning production, I'm not seeing starters. I'm just seeing some dudes that can go out there and get it done.
I think you might be right, Shane. I mean, I've always said you were the smart cousin.
Oh, man.
You know who else is a smart now. Cousin?
Cousin Fred! Come on, cuz.
Oh, ribs, add to the total. Yes, we're going to have, I'll have an updated tally tomorrow for mailbag. Final opportunity for cousins to pile in here and try to get their teams.
Yes.
For the fall camp preview series, which will be starting next week. Can't wait for that. Shout out David Chambers. Oh,
thank you, cuz.
Number one Chris Marler hater in the world, and there's a lot of them. David's up there, though. Hottie tutty. Rips going to beat the brakes off of LSU, and Lane gets exposed as a fraud on September 19th. But Louisville's going down first. Go Rebs and hide it, tight it.
That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Look at them.
What will be the national perception, Shane, after all this, everybody and their mother talking trash about Ole Miss?
Yeah.
If they come out here and wax LSU's ass, man, will Lane Kiffin be like the joke of college football?
Yeah. Yeah, they got upgraded. What? That's dude. I feel like Ole Miss got house money right here. I don't think the expectations are to repeat. In fact, there's so many people that are expecting you guys to fall flat on your face.
Just and look at that over under.
Yeah. This may be the best bet on the board, and take it. I think you got the best quarterback in the country. I think you got one of, if not the best running back in the country. You know, do you have a lot of production return on defense? Clearly not, but who cares? Because this thing's going to run through offense, but I do think it's different. And I don't know, man. I think people are, they're putting them down too quick. Ole Miss may be the team again.
It's just people can't get used to.
Yeah.
New success. You know what?
You just tell Saban to stay up there, because when we go up there to see Trump and accept our award for being national champs, we want you to be there.
Hey, shout out this one from Liquid. Appreciate you, buddy. Maybe with all these defensive stats, you know, I think he's getting warmed up. I mean, I'm sure he's already warmed up for the Gators, but now we got John Sumrall. Maybe the Florida-Georgia game gets back into the spotlight like it used to be.
Oh, man.
I'm telling you, I think Sumrall is going to make us a competitive ball game.
I feel like some of the great Florida games, you know, I hate that LSU's not back on here. That was another one that I was waiting for that game to be fun again. But hey, make this one relevant. Make this game relevant. Get it fired up. Get some bad blood. So by the time we get back down to Jacksonville, you and I could go attend it and actually get to experience the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, man.
Maybe moving the venue will, I know it's in Atlanta, you know, closer to the Dogs, but
yeah,
for whatever reason, maybe that'll help the Gators. You know, because it's just like exercising them demons.
That's right. Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready.
And then shout out P5, show numbers. You, we will surprise. Uncircle that damn Mississippi State. MIC. How dare you, Shade? How dare
what
you?
What was I thinking? P? I don't know what I was thinking. I apologize. They're going to hang 50 on them.
Well, that's the thing. It might be first one to like 60 points.
Yeah, maybe that's it. You have lack of production because your B team's in, right?
that truly could be of that weekend. That could be one of the best, most entertaining games, September 26th.
It will be fun. And what I think will be more fun about it is Mizzou's offense, which has been not as fun to watch here lately. I feel like this could be not a high scoring game, but it won't be one you want to turn off, right? I feel like it'll be back and forth there for a while, and then one of those teams is going to take advantage of you.
And just think about it, Shane. I mean, every year under Drink,
yeah,
Missouri has some game wrecker of a running back.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk to a Mizzou fan, they're like, we got two this year.
Yeah.
They had them last year too. But, you know, if they could keep that up and just be great on the ground, they have yet to really have a true threat as a passer that entire time. Now with Austin Simmons, if they could push the ball down the field and they have a quarterback that you have to be concerned about, in addition to an outstanding running game, I mean, it just we may be only scratching the surface of how damn good this Missouri program could be.
Yeah.
It's like we're playing offense with one arm tied behind our back.
No, I mean, you make some good points, Mike, like always, you know? You should write a book. You should have an SEC Mike book behind you. Have you ever thought about doing it?
A book? Yeah. No.
No, I did. No, I'm joking. A kid's book.
I got something cooking here. I think I got some plans on the back burner, but it's not a book. I promise you that. Something way more fun that I think people will get behind.
Scavenger hunt. Yes.
Hey, shout out, Janet. Go, hey, Janet. You hairy dogs. I think Janet's seeing all these numbers in life. I think the Dogs are in it to win it. You know what?
I feel like the Dogs are kind of lurking a little bit. Like they're waiting. They know they're letting everybody get lulled. Think this is we're done. And then they're going to pop one off on a Thursday show. That's what I think is going to happen. Thank you, Janet. I appreciate you. Cuz
I mean, is there even one game, Shane? I'm not guaranteeing Dogs go undefeated or anything, but is there one game where you don't, where Georgia will be an underdog? Because I don't see it.
No, not at all.
Now, at Bama, at Ole Miss, those are, I'm not saying you're going to be like a 7-point favorite, but I think you'll be favored by at least a field goal.
Yep.
Oklahoma, probably. Hell, Oklahoma's underdog at Michigan. They're going to be an underdog at Georgia. Unless maybe they just wax Michigan's ass. But those are like the only games I see it being a, and of course they don't play Tennessee, so they wouldn't be an underdog there. But
does it get boring just being that good? You know,
I don't think so.
I wish I knew what that felt like. It's I mean, the 90s we had our run, but still, you know, Florida had our number. Sometimes Georgia had our number. It's just you lucky bastards. You just enjoy it.
You don't know how good you got it, Janet.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like when you're trying to figure out which team is going to be a favorite over you, and we have no answers for you for another season.
But we got a good shake because we got Steven up.
Row Tide.
Showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven up. Roll Tide.
One small step for man, one giant leap for Steven.
Yes, sir.
Is it possible, Shane, that we're just completely sleeping on the tide? Like, these numbers are, hell, you know, here's a perfect example. Ole Miss was dead last in all these damn numbers last year.
Yeah.
They went further than anybody in the Southeastern Conference. Could that be Alabama this year?
It could be. Yeah. I mean, let's talk about it, Mike. I mean, let's be real. We're being real with each other. The production, I'm a little worried about them titers, you know. I am.
I've been saying that for months.
But, you know, I trust Kalen DeBoer to do the right thing, right? Maybe he cleared – that's what he did. He cleaned some house so he could get his guys in place. This is the year, year three. I feel like you got all the chips on the table. I don't know who's at quarterback, even though we kind of do. I don't know. We may be sleeping on some tide too. So
I know I said, I'm trying to hype him up, but
yeah.
Also, when you say year three, that just tells me that all the Saban guys are gone.
Yeah. Well,
so
they've been gone.
It's on you now, DeBoer.
Yeah.
Like, what if they're even softer this year? You know what I mean? Like, there's no more excuses or there's no benefit of that, really, to where you got Saban guys. And yeah. You're right, like, with the portal and everything, a lot of those guys are gone anyway. But Ty Simpson was a Saban guy. Jalen Miro was, you know, on and on. Ryan Williams never technically played for Saban, but he commit to yeah. Saban. Man, it's interesting to give a guy a massive extension. And we don't know if he's capable of this job.
I'm going to keep an eye on, you know, folks putting stock into something he's wearing. It just seems like that is a telltale sign that the season's not going well. You know, I think of Muschamp glasses or the black hoodie here with Kalen DeBoer. If we hone in on something like that, no, I think we may be in trouble.
Just like Nolo, can't wait to see how Will Muschamp impacts the physicality of this defense.
Oh, he's beating the shit out of him right now.
Hey, Collins last year for the first time. What up, Shane Hookup?
What's up, cuz? You know what? I was wrong. Texas is number one.
Shout out Jared. He gave us a donation too.
Thank you, cuz. Appreciate you.
Then we got the Bengal here, Shane. Hey, just wanted to pitch in for when the Emo's toasted ravioli expansion comes to Nashville. You better prepare yourself. MIZ. And Shane, I don't know if you were probably completely unaware of this.
Yeah.
But we've got this Emo's pizza chain.
Okay.
It's like a Missouri, I guess it's based out of Missouri because all the Missouri people are telling me about it. But it's supposed to be amazing. They have toasted ravioli and all this pizza. And they just announced they're opening doors for the first time in the state of Tennessee. They're building a Nashville location. Huh. We got to go.
So what is a toasted ravioli?
Well, you're going to have to look up for yourself. Well, I guess I'm not a big
that's the crazy thing. You would think I'd be a big Italian guy. Yeah. Like, short of calzone,
pizza. You're just a big guy in general.
I like food. I'll eat a toasted ravioli.
I'll show you delicious. Right here. You and the cousins. I forgot I had this power.
Let's see it.
I mean, it looks pretty delicious to me. I mean, it's just a ravioli that's probably deep fried, you know?
I'd hit it. Yeah. Yeah, I would. I'd probably have like three of them right now. See, I'm on that shot, man. I can't eat like I used to, but
right.
I got like three good bites in me though. Yeah. I go with it. Would you like it? Do you like it better than like calzones?
I mean, I think it's just an appetizer, you know?
Oh, so you don't make a meal.
It's for the table.
Okay. Oh, okay.
You've heard of that, right?
My table?
A true story. I have ordered an appetizer before.
Yes.
And then it was not at the table. And then I would get up to like use the restroom with Cousin Shane. And then by the time I got back, The appetizer was gone, and he acted like it never came.
Yeah, I never saw it. You want me to order one?
That's a true story. That has happened.
What was that? That Ruth Chris, man. I wore out that sweet potato stuff they brought out. Yeah, you weren't expecting that.
Mm-mm.
No, no. That was good.
All right, and then last thing here, Shane.
Yeah.
We got so many gifted donations. So shout out Cousin Glenn.
Hey, there he is.
Hopefully I can, track all these down. I believe
I was able to beat him in the show today. Barely.
Did you?
Yeah. he's an early bird. You got to get in here early.
To beat Cousin Glenn?
Yeah. Yeah. He's quick.
All right. He gifted. Oh, no. It's so small. I can't see it.
That's what she said.
David, well, we appreciate you, Cousin Glenn. And Cousin Jared got a couple in here, too. Boom, boom. Jared got Captain Rhett and UT Rage.
Hey, thank you. Welcome to the family.
Who's raging more, do you think? Tennessee or Texas? I don't know who's raging over here.
Right now, it's, I don't know, Texas was pretty upset. But I would say Tennessee right now with the Chaz situation.
Yeah, they're raging pretty hard, right?
And they're talking about building this big-ass hotel in front of the river, all that. All the other sports suck, you know.
And then we had Mississippi Bulldog, Shane.
Hey, there we are.
He gifted Roberto Knapp, Eli Wilson, Slade. Oh, you're going to like this one. Humping Panthers. And Cheesehead.
Welcome to the family. Oh, Humping Panthers. You just got to watch him Humping Panthers.
All right, buddy. Anything else before we hop off here?
No, no. No, it's fun checking out. Are we going to do mailbag? What are we doing tomorrow?
Yeah, mailbag and a little. We got a lot of people on here, so a lot of new cousins.
Yeah.
For the only, we're bringing back only cousins, right?
Yes, let's do it. So tomorrow, mailbag. After that, if you're official cousin, you get to hang out. We're going to do some phone calling and talk to the...
Bring a question or two.
Yeah, yeah.
The last one we did, no one had any questions. They just wanted to call
in. Save your mailbag questions for the cousin show.
Oh, wait, Steven Up gave us some memberships too. Hold on, let me track that down.
Row Tide. I can't take them anywhere, Steven. I'm sorry about that.
Well, they're hard to track down here. Damn it. They're gone.
Gone, Steven. They better show up tomorrow at the family reunion. Cousins only.
Thunderstick gave us Twitter.
Man, come on. Them Sooners getting back up there, man. They're getting toward the top again. We'll have the updated list tomorrow. So, hey, don't forget, tomorrow, last day for that, we're going to do a fall camp preview. So we'll have all our donations lined up, and those teams are going to get previewed first. It's some of my favorites. It is some of my favorites, man. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to be at the bottom of this list because you may get left off before we get to...
Yeah, that's a true statement right there. Yeah. All right, so that's going to do it for this episode. We appreciate each and every one of you. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go Balls.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.